Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Guys,
hey, what y'all doing?
Screwing
dad jokes, always. So today is like less of like a scientific-y hair fact. We are going to talk about the fact that, you guys, I know it's like February and you're looking at Valentine's Day, but if you are like a blonde or you want your hair lighter for the summer and you've gone a little darker, or just in general, if your hair is darker and you want to be blonde for the summer, start now.
It is time.
It is time. Do it, you know, before we get to the warmer months. And then you'll have a lot more time to have nice, healthy blonde in the summer that we can yell at you for getting in the chlorine.
Well, and especially if you have dark hair, too, because we've kind of talked about it, but that's a process that sometimes doesn't just happen overnight. Especially if you want a light blonde, it's going to take a couple times.
Yeah, if you enjoy being a platinum girly in the summer, come on in, sis. It's time to schedule. Let's get that going.
Not just that. Spring gets very busy in the salon, so to make sure you can get in, come on in. Our spring is going to be very busy in the salon.
You guys, we have the craziest, biggest announcement.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. So, I opened a salon.
Dun, 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 dun. Wah, 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 wah.
You did that much better than I did.
I've had a lot of practice. But yeah, Ashley here has opened a salon, and us and all of our friends all work together.
We've got any type of hair you can imagine. You want rainbow hair, you want natural hair, you have men's hair, any type of hair, curly hair.
We need aesthetics done.
Yes, brows, waxing, lashes.
Our girl Leah, who also is the lovely voice you hear on our intro song, she does all of the waxings.
All of them.
She is a wax guru. So if you need waxed, if you need your skin taken care of, or if you need like lashes and brows done, she does lash lifts and laminations on brows,
lash lifts and tints.
And tints, yes, she does tints.
She does
on both.
Facials, she does hydrofacials. She has a hydrofacial machine, and that thing looks awesome.
And it sucks all this like, gunk out. Oh, man.
I love it. So, we are going to be at Eclipsed Hair and Skin on North Lee Highway.
You can visit the website
at eclipsedcleveland.com and our Instagram, eclipsedcleveland.
Woot woot. Woo woo.
We are super, super excited. It is super, super us. It is very earthy and bohemian and green.
Our favorite color.
Our favorite color. Hopefully sometime in the month of March, we will be having a grand opening of some sort.
And even if you don't get your hair done and you just want to come meet us two goofballs, please come to the grand opening. We'd love to see you.
That's going to be a lot of fun. But a little shameless plug for us there. It's our podcast. We can talk about it if we want to.
We can talk about your salon if we want to.
We want to. So we love true crime, but we also love doing hair. So check us out.
Yeah, so that's the reason February is going to be formatted a little bit different than the previous months as well. We got a little surprise in store for y'all in February. So just stick around. And we've got lots of fun things going on. But also, we are insanely busy right now, guys. It's wild. But we are so excited to share this with you.
Life has been a literal fever dream this past year, y'all. Whenever we think something is crazy and life can't get any crazier, it does. So we are excited to honestly be riding this creative high and be able to focus on our podcast and really see what all we can do with you guys.
Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
All right, let's talk about some murder.
Let's now bring it down a few notches. Randa is going to tell you about the Jennings 8 today.
All right, guys. We are going to talk about the Jennings 8. Sometimes they're referred to as the Jeff Davis or the Jefferson Davis 8. But Jefferson Davis is a small parish in Louisiana, a little ways away from New Orleans. But so it's a really small, small parish. And then they have a town called Jennings inside of this parish. And the population is only 10,000.
That's wild.
Yeah. It is a somewhat poor, a very rural community, especially on the south side of the tracks.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot. Like, they don't even have a movie theater. Okay. So there's not a whole lot to do.
Yeah. I can't even think of somewhere to compare that to.
Benton.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
You know, Benton, Tennessee, yeah. Polk County. Think that. Rural.
Okay.
Okay.
I can't say that word.
Rural.
I can't say it.
Rural.
Rural.
And what happened in Jennings where there were 8 women murdered between 05 and 09. And they all were dumped around Jennings, which is how we get to the Jennings 8. And the first of the 8 was Loretta Lynn Chasson. Now, Loretta was found on May 20th of 05. She was 28 years old and the mother of 2 at the time. She was pulled out of a canal where she was discovered just floating by some fishermen. Now, there's a common theme that we will see within the 8 that all of them struggled with some drug addiction. And we're talking like crack, pills.
Okay.
That
heavy
kind of
stuff.
Heavy stuff.
Not just getting busted with a joint behind the 7-Eleven.
Okay. This is not misdemeanors here. Okay. And a lot of them were involved in prostitution. But that's not what I'm going to focus on. I'm actually not going to bring that up again. Just know that the sex trade is alive and well in Jennings. And that is how a lot of these girls are getting by.
But that's not who they were.
That's not who they were. Because they engaged in sex work does not make them any less deserving of getting some answers and some justice. Okay? I just want to make that very fucking clear. So Loretta, again, was 28-year-old mom of 2. Pulled her out of the canal. Some fishermen found her just floating. Basically, her tox string comes back positive, and everybody, because they know who Loretta is, they know her reputation, everybody's like, yep, OD.
It's very easy to point to that.
Exactly. But people start to kind of suspect murder because of the location of where she was found in the canal. It's not somewhere where she would have just been walking down the street and dropped dead,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Or where she would have, like, sat down and looked at a creek, or
it would be different if she was sitting on a park bench opposed to
exactly.
How did she get into the water.
Exactly. And this is, she's found kind of removed outside of town. So again, she's out, you know, out in the cornfields, basically out in the cane fields.
Like, so even at that point, even if it's like,
it's an irrigation canal is where she's found.
Okay. So even if it's like, even if this isn't murder and she did OD, somebody put her here.
Right. She's been moved.
Right. Okay.
So at the very least, she's OD'd somewhere and somebody's dumped her out. She was last seen at a gas station in Jennings
getting into the car, Frankie Richard. Remember that name.
Okay.
So a little time goes by, and we get to victim number two, Ernestine Marie Daniels Patterson. Ernestine was found on June 18th of 05. She's 30-year-old, mother of five, pulled from a canal roughly 5 miles from where Loretta's body was dumped. Okay. And she's found by bullfrog diggers. Now, y'all who don't know, that's people who are fishing slash hunting for bullfrogs.
I love that.
It's called frog gigging. Look it up.
I normally always say the mushroom hunters find the bodies, but now I'm going to start saying the frog giggers find the bodies just to see like people's reactions to that.
Now, Ernestine's talks came back positive, but her throat was slashed.
That, I don't think that was an OD.
Yeah. Then in the middle of them investigating Ernestine's death, Hurricane Katrina happened.
Oh, no.
So everything kind of paused.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people were moving out of New Orleans and coming into Jennings. I mean, we live in Tennessee and people, right. I mean, there was a flood of people. I remember FEMA trailers being here.
Yeah.
To house people.
I remember seeing just like lines and lines of utility trucks from like other places.
Headed down.
Yes. And like they'd all be parked in parking lots around the interstate and stuff. We were actually talking about this because we didn't plan this, but next week case is actually a Louisiana Katrina case too.
And I feel like y'all are going to know it as soon as we say it.
But we were actually talking before we started this that I know people all over the U.S. have heard of like Katrina, but I feel like we saw like the tail end of the impact of it up here, of like people coming up here and stuff like that. It was a big deal, guys.
It was a very big deal. And so Katrina happened, had to pause Ernestine's case. And later, two local men were arrested for her murder, one being a very famous like local football player.
Oh.
Well, and he was like a big deal around there.
Right, you know.
But everybody knew who he was. Well, they were later cleared after the witness who put them in jail recanted their statement and forensic testing came back negative.
Why? How do people just end up giving false statement like that? Like,
this ain't the last one you're gonna hear.
Oh. One of those.
Yeah, whoo! Okay, so victim number three rolls around. We don't have any murders in the year of 06. None. We get two in 05, and then they pick up again in March of 07.
Wow, sounds like that person could have evacuated for Katrina.
Shocking.
That's the first thing that would make me think, because a year, I mean.
Number three was Kristen Gary Lopez. She was found on March 18th of 07. She was 21 years old at the time of her death. She's pulled from another canal where she is naked except for one sock on her foot. I think it was the right foot. Also, known addict, positive tox report. She was missing for 12 days before they found her.
Had she been reported missing?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the thing is, like, most of these women, it's like, you know, they are addicted. Things happen, like, it'll be a day or two before their families report them to police as missing. But their families are out on the streets looking for them anyway because they're not answering their phones and stuff. That's usually the MO here is that the family knows something's wrong before the police is willing to admit there's something wrong. And then the body will turn up.
Okay.
So, here is where things start to get a little tangled, okay? So, stick with me. We got a lot to cover with Kristen, okay? Kristen had told one of her best friends, whose name is Hannah Connor, that she had bruises all over, and Hannah was like, "What happened to you?" And she said that she had been beaten up by somebody with brass knuckles for stealing. Which is something that comes with
addiction. A risky lifestyle. Yeah.
Now, Hannah Connor is Kristen's best friend. They grew up together. They know each other very well. Hannah Connor
is Frankie Richard's niece. Frankie Richard knows Kristen very well. Tracy Chasson, who is Loretta's first cousin, is Kristen's girlfriend. Not friend, girlfriend.
So pretty much everybody's in a very tangled web, but everybody is kind of
just wait. Tracy goes to the police and says Hannah Connor and Frankie Richard killed Kristen. They held her down in a canal and drowned her. Frankie Richard and Hannah Connor go to jail. Frankie Richard's already in jail, though, on suspicion of a rape. They're interviewing Hannah. They're interviewing Frankie. Tracy Chasson comes back and says, I lied. Made it all up. I can't stand that I put them in jail, and I lied. They get out.
Obviously, this guy is dangerous anyway. I'll keep listening.
And then there's interviews of Tracy Chasson where she's like, yeah, I lied.
The just casualness, yeah.
She's like, yeah, I lied, and then I couldn't live with myself, so I had to go tell him I lied.
What? I can't imagine you ever doing anything to me to make me mad enough that I'm like, I'm going to go tell the police that this is. Oh, you want to forget my coffee this morning? That's fine. I'll send your ass to jail.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Kristen knew Loretta.
Right.
And she also knew Ernestine. Then we get to number four. Whitney Dubois.
I'm loving these last names.
Whitney Dubois was found on May 12th of 07. So we're going March, April, we don't have a murder. May. Right. Whitney comes up missing, found her body on May 12th of 07.
Let me ask too, they're finding these girls quickly, right? All of them have been found fairly quickly?
Within a couple days of them being missing.
Okay.
Most of them. There are some, as we get later on, that are longer times between.
But as of right now, we know this is happening pretty
number
quickly.
Number four, they're finding her in a couple days.
Okay.
Whitney was a 26-year-old mother one who her sisters say she dabbled with weed, took a Xanax every now and then, but wasn't, like, dependent on anything.
Right.
Kind of only did it when she partied.
Didn't have a problem.
Until she had her daughter, Beyonce, and she had to have an emergency C-section. Then towards the end of that incision healing, it got infected, and she was prescribed pain pills because it was painful. That's when it turned into a full-blown pill addiction. Now, Whitney was dumped on the side of the road, which is different than the other three who have been in the canal. Whitney, her tox report came back positive, but it came back positive for alcohol as well, like very high levels. And her sisters are like, Whitney never drank. Like, she would get high as a kite.
Right.
But she didn't like to drink. And so what happened was Whitney had come to her grandmother's house at the middle of the night and had asked her grandma for some food. Her grandma fed her. And then she wanted to stay there because I guess her boyfriend had kicked her out of their house for some reason. And her grandma was like, no, baby, you can't stay here because she stole all the time.
I mean, yeah, I understand that.
And she was like, no, baby, you can't stay here. And so I guess Whitney got mad and she left and stole grandma's medication on the way out the door.
Which, it's like, no offense, but that's why you couldn't stay here.
Exactly. And then, so she takes off walking over to guess whose house?
Frankie
Richard's, where his brother Billy had a camper out back where Whitney had stayed before.
Okay.
So it's believed that she was headed over there. Last time anybody ever saw her.
Which makes me also just question Frankie's integrity in general, because it seems like, obviously, he has something to do with drugs, because this woman isn't...
Oh, he's a pimp. He's running... He's buying crack.
Because I'm friends, but I'm not just going to show up at your house in the middle of the night and be like, hey, I'm going to stay in this
camper. No. So, this was a dope house.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and Frankie says in interviews that the last time he saw Whitney, she was leaving his house and walking down the road towards
I guess where her and her boyfriend stayed.
Okay.
Again, that's Frankie's account. It is what it is. So then we come a whole year later to number 5. Laconia Muggy Brown. She was found on May 29th of 08. She was a 23-year-old mother of one. She is found fully clothed and dumped on the side of the road. This is a road that led to the police firing range. And I believe she's found by a police officer on this road.
You would think somebody from that area would know that, unless they want her to be found. But
her throat is also slashed. Very interesting to me that our two black victims have their throats slashed. Her tox report also comes back positive. She also knew Frankie Richard.
I mean, coincidences happen, but that's a lot of coincidences, Mr. Frankie.
And Muggy knew most of these other girls, too.
Yeah.
Then we get to number 6. Crystal Shea Benoit. She was found on September. Now, this is a different time of the year. September 11th. She was 24 years old. She is the one that is the farthest removed from all of these MOs.
Okay.
She's found in the woods by Hunter. She's kind of like dropped off like in a like a little like
ravine.
Ditch ravine okay. thing out in the woods. And Hunter smelled her, went found her, called it in. She is the most decomposed of the 8. Her remains are almost skeletal. It takes them a while to figure out that it's her.
But that makes sense because if you look, Whitney was in May of 07 and Muggy was in May of 08. So either he had a really long cooling off period or there
well,
was,
she was missing for like a couple weeks. Also, you got to remember, this is Louisiana.
Right. It's hot.
It's hot as shit.
Insect activity.
A ton of insect activity, right. A ton of wildlife activity. And in September there, it's still probably, I'd say, a good 95 degrees.
I mean, it's still hot here till October, so exactly. I can just imagine there.
Right. Now, Crystal was known to associate with Kristen, Loretta, and Muggy. They're not able to determine her cause of death, but she actually said to her mom, like, a couple, like, after Kristen, after Loretta, after Muggy, she told her mom, what if I'm next?
I hate that about serial killer cases where there's always like at least one victim that's like worried about it. And then it ends up happening to them.
So then we come to our youngest victim. 17-year-old Brittany Gary. Mm-hmm. She's found in November 15th of 08. She's last seen at the Family Dollar store buying minutes for her phone.
Okay.
Her mom said that they had, like, been cleaning the house all day, and she'd been begging her all day, can I go get minutes for my phone? And she was like, no, we're cleaning the house. And then she was like, okay, you're done.
Go get
your store's about to close in 30 minutes. Go get your minutes, baby. You know? And so she did, and she's on the surveillance paying for the phone card, and she walks outside, last known ever. She's also dumped on the side.
That makes me think that somebody
she was face down, and the report is like her face was gone when they flipped her over.
Somebody that knew her, she walked out of that store, and somebody that knew her was like, hey, do you want a ride?
Well, her mom did drugs with Frankie Richard and actually moved Brittany into the house with Frankie Richard when they were younger. Brittany grew up with Frankie Richard's kid.
There are no coincidences here. I don't know that, but I swear to say I guarantee. But makes me
Brittany
wonder.
Also knew Whitney very well because Whitney also knew all of Frankie Richard's kids.
Because, I mean, it's a small town. So if you have friends, you're going to know. I know your friends. Mm-hmm. You know my friends. Like, yeah you're going to.
And our population is well over 10,000.
I mean, he's fishing from a real small pool here. That's all I'm saying.
Well, then we come to our last victim, number 8. Nicole Guillory. She's found on August 19th of 09.
Okay.
She was 26 years old. She's also a known addict. She stated to her mother that she wouldn't live to see her next birthday. And when they asked her, like, what are you talking about? She was like, it's better if y'all don't know. And she also told one of her friends about, I think he said it was like 2 or 3 days before she went missing. She came up, she hugged him, and she said, if anything happens to me, it was the police.
I wonder what makes her... I mean, drugs can make you say crazy things, so I wonder if that was real.
Well, her talk screen came back positive, obviously, but strangulation was suspected as her cause of death.
That's very different than the other ones that we know of. There's one that we're not sure of, but that's very different than the other MOs. Mm-hmm. Where was she found?
I believe she was also dumped on the side of the road.
That makes me wonder if that's somebody different.
Well,
I sort of say, why do they group her in with the rest of these women?
Let's talk about the police in Jennings.
Okay.
The police in Jennings have a long history of corruption. Okay.
Please, hold on. Time out. Let me tell y'all that her headline on her notes right now says, Jennings Police and you know what you did.
Jennings Police and you know what you did. They do know what they did, though.
That's funny.
You can tell I typed this at, like, midnight, and I was, like, feverish. It's also bolded and underlined, in case you need to know that about
this case is not funny, but the passion in her notes is funny.
I take notes the way I type.
I do mine, like, voice to text. Yeah. So sometimes when I'm reading them, I'm like...
Yeah. Mine looks like a conversation I'm having with myself.
Mine, too.
So... Previously, they had been under scrutiny for profiled ticketing.
Okay.
So that happened before any of these murders. That was the first case of, like, they're in the news, right? And then, when the murders start happening, they refuse to publicly use the term serial killer, but they use the term serial dumper.
Because that's what they felt about these women. These women were... almost like, this reminds me a lot of Green River, because these women were addicts to them. These women were disposable to them. They were like, oh, you know, something would have happened to her anyway.
Right, exactly. If not now, then when?
Almost like they deserved it.
Well, several, if not all of the 8, were CIs at one time or another. Some were even... questioned in relation to the murders of the other 8, and then weeks later would come up dead. CIs means confidential informant.
I also see that as Frankie had all these little CIs around him. Makes you wonder if whenever he figured out what they were or
Frankie's
what they were doing.
Frankie's a fucking CI.
Oh, the corruption.
Not to mention that, I mean, they have been involved in sex trafficking. The police department has. We've not even, let me get on with the list. And these are in no particular order. These are just things that I found that I was like, are you fucking shitting me? 8 female officers in the parish filed complaints against other male officers and superiors for sexual assault and harassment. Forced oral sex was part of one of these sexual assault charges.
But it sounds like she probably just told this guy's buddy that's over him, and the buddy just kind of said, all right, we'll do something about it.
No. This was a sergeant who, no, and I'm about to repeat this, and it's not word for word, but I just want y'all to know that it makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit. He told her that he left to eat pussy and that he could numb it all night. But my God,
if you can't trust the police, who can you trust?
One of I believe it was like a police chief or something, bought a truck and tires with police funds for his personal use. Rumored involvement in sex trafficking, as we said, there's a certain hotel in town, I think it was like the Boudreaux Inn or something like that. And sex work goes on in there. And apparently, the cops are getting a cut to look the other way. One of the 8 was present for a wrongful police shooting. And there are 17 total unsolved murders from 05 to 2014.
That's a lot of murders in
general. Their clearance rate at about 7%.
See, that's a lot of, like, murders in general. But to have that many unsolved murders is honestly, like, astounding.
Yes.
It's very disproportionate.
300 pounds of weed and several guns were stolen from evidence.
What are you going to do with 300 pounds? I mean, obviously, they probably sold it because you can't smoke 300 pounds of weed.
It would take a while.
It would take a while.
Even if you're Snoop Dogg.
I started to say, you'd have to call in reinforcements for that one. Like,
we're going to need to have a lot of parties.
Yes. Just throw it in a bonfire. Just staying close. Just throw a brick of it in there.
There are multiple sexual assault allegations from female inmates accusing both male inmates and officers.
I hate when I hear about shit like that.
There's a press conference held to announce the task force for the eight. Several of the, including Whitney's, I think Muggy's sister was there. Brittany's mom was there. Several families were there. And in this press conference, the police chief is like, yeah, we've had plenty of communication. And Whitney's sister speaks up and goes, you have not talked to us in over a year. And he was like, there have been attempts to come. And she goes, I'm coming right here in front of everybody and telling you, you have not tried to contact my family.
Go her.
I was like, bad bitch, go, bad bitch, go, yes. Bad bitch, go. And like, everybody in front of these cameras stands up and is like, you're lying. You have not tried at all. So then, concerning the task force, Warren Gary, now I'm not sure if he's related to Brittany or Kristen.
Okay.
Because Brittany and Kristen are cousins.
Okay, okay.
He was fired and fined $10,000 after purchasing a truck from a witness that could have transported Kristen's body.
I smell something stanky.
Paula Guillory, who is Nicole's cousin, was also let go from the task force for losing evidence.
If you are investigating your cousin's murder that's probably a serial killer, how in the fuck do you lose evidence? How do you lose evidence in general?
How do you lose 300 pounds of weed out of the evidence locker?
Touche, actually, there. Yeah, I mean, I think they need better locks.
I think throw away the fucking key. In 07, an officer Ewing talks to two jail informants about the eight, and fearing for the safety of the evidence, because he knows the corruption in the fucking police department, he from a third party, hands these tapes off of this,
like the recordings of the interviews.
Yeah. Hands it off to a private investigator. Private investigator takes it to the FBI office in Lake Charles. Guess who's involved in the task force?
Oh, no.
These tapes make their way back to the task force anyway. And then Officer Ewing is hit with these malfeasance charges and trumped up sexual assault charges, where they say that on the tape, she's like, saying that he touched her inappropriately. Charges are dropped later, but still.
So was he actually trying to do the good, like, the right thing, though?
He was. The quote-unquote evidence was re-recorded over later after the tapes had come to use it.
Oh, yes.
The tapes contained discussions of Whitney and Kristen's murder and Frankie Richard's involvement. From a jailhouse informant.
I'm gonna guess that was probably Tracy Chasson.
Oh, yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
Also, the last thing I'm gonna talk about here is that the sheriff ordered DNA testing of everyone on the task force across all agencies that are within this task force, because it's a multi-agency thing. Which is why they keep saying task force can't be corrupt. It's a multi-agency thing. Suck my dick. Anyway, he orders DNA testing all members of the task force.
Which, I mean, that's sad that you have to DNA test your own fucking task force.
Never releases why and never releases the results.
Of course not.
Still not to this day.
So why are they protecting? It sounds like they're protecting Frankie. Did more than one person do these murders? Are they protecting
Frankie? The police have got to be involved here.
I wonder if they're getting a cut from Frankie.
Also, I just need to tell you that guy
that they interview on the ID Channel special about it. He says the police officer, the detective that they interview or whatever now, this man says investigations.
Investigations.
The whole time. And it just, it really, why him? Why him?
Why him?
Jordan.
I got lots of questions.
I probably don't have any answers.
I know. I just mean in general, like they have lots
There's
of answers.
There's a lot to absorb with this kid. I mean, once you realize that every single one of these girls knew each other, they'd all done drugs.
They all knew Frankie.
Frankie Richard also admits that he was intimate with most of these women.
Of course he was. Why is nobody making a big deal about this?
I really have no clue. Why is this not a bigger deal? There's one author who's written a book about this who goes pretty far into the police corruption. And his name's Ethan Brown. And he has a book out. And you can go read it. It's very informative. But, I mean...
And there's that TV show, that Murder in the Bayou.
And I think somebody said Showtime has done...
Well, wait!
Tell us your thoughts on this. Tell us what you think. Share this episode. Make a big deal about this. These women deserve justice. And that's something I feel like... Even this far in, we've already talked multiple times about women who are in the sex trade who are just murdered and disposed of. And that's not right. That's not right.
It's not okay. Yeah. And then the fact that the police are just, I mean, I don't want to say blatantly involved, but I want to say blatantly involved.
Right. And then it sucks to hear about. Because we're on the victim side, but, like, we also, like the law enforcement side of this also. And it really sucks to hear the people
that... A corrupt department is a corrupt department.
And it sucks to hear, like, the people that are supposed to have people's backs sometimes are the worst ones.
Yeah.
They are taking power that they have and absolutely blatantly abusing it. And nobody is going to stop them. Nobody can stop them until somebody's making a big deal about this or somebody's being like, hey, what the fuck is going on here?
Exactly.
Things like this continue.
Exactly.
Just because someone has an addiction or is living a different kind of lifestyle does not mean they are any less important.
Also, you don't get to take the chance away for them to get their life back in order.
Yeah, you don't get to make that choice for them.
No, that's not fair.
No.
You won't get us fired up. Talk about something like this.
This is why we got into this, is to talk about stuff like this.
But yeah, that's why I really wanted to do this case, because it was, from the second I heard about it, fired the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't like that.
All right, guys.
Frankie has some answering to do. He won't, but...
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. He's dead now.
Oh, see? So... Nobody.
I mean, this happened, what, 15 years ago now?
Yeah.
Almost, yeah.
So the answers are gone. A lot of people will live the rest of their days always wondering.
I hate that.
I do too.
It's not fair.
Nope. All right, guys.
Holler at us. Tell us what you think.
Yes, definitely.
Goodbye.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.